Actress is Anne Enright's seventh novel, her first in 5 years, and it's a mother and daughter tale. In particular, the mother, Catherine O'Dell, an Irish theatre icon of the title, whose life story is being told in the novel by her daughter, Nora. Maeve Kennedy has been reading the novel for us. She joins me now from London. You know, I asked the question, who is Catherine O'Dell, to start us out here, Maeve, but in some ways that's a very difficult question to answer, because Catherine O'Dell in herself is an entire invention. So much of the detail we hear was invented by her and by people around her.
Entire invention. Yeah, you would actually think of Micheál MacLaymore, you know, that icon of Irishness with the gorgeous chocolatey voice speaking Irish like a native and not an Irish bone in his body.
You know, Alfred Wilmore.
brought up among the bonine-wearing peasants of Kensal Green. Everything in this book is untrustworthy. There's nothing real about the stage and screen star Catherine O'Dell. Her name has been given to her in America. Her hair's been dyed red in America. And the crucial thing is that, like MacLaymore, she's not Irish. There's a fabulous sequence where the really damaged daughter, Nora, like many of Anne Enright's heroines, a very untrustworthy, slightly cold-hearted, not particularly likeable narrator, who's grown up in the shadow of the dazzle of her mother, and she's trudging around London suburbia trying to work out the truth of her mother's life and therefore the truth of her own life.
Nora's telling the story from quite a distance, in fact. Her telling it is around about 2010 or the second decade of this millennium. And she's looking back to the 50s, 60s, 70s.
That's right. And in the process, there's not only a story of the mother's life, but there's quite a lot of Irish political and social history in it as well. Very neatly done. The daughter's search for the truth of her mother's life is not only an attempt to disentangle her own life, because she spends a lot of the book trying to work out who her father is, never finds out, but also an idiot young journalist, brutal caricature of a baby journalist, I have to say, comes to interview her about her mother's life. And the young journalist has a very millennial view of sex and politics in Ireland, which the daughter thinks is wrong on almost every count, and she's trying to straighten out in her own mind, in sort of furious reply to the journalist, which she never actually sends, what's true and what's not. It's quite a bleak book. It's quite a sad book.
Touching on that aspect that you bring up about the millennial journalist, I know that I heard Anne Enright speaking about the novel today and referring to the Irish Times article and this reference to actress in the title.
Oh, yes.
She made that reference.
Doesn't that date it?
Yeah, but she says that that's precisely the point here. She's looking back at a time when actress was what Cathy O'Dell would have been called. What about the nature of the gender politics in the acting world in which Cathy O'Dell is moving? In sort of post-war America, and then later
it's left a lot of damaged goods in the book. I mean, Catherine O'Dell and the daughter Catherine O'Dell in 50s America, the daughter in 70s Dublin, they have both had sexual encounters which would now unquestionably be called rape. And at the time, neither woman recognised it as such. So there's a lot of picking apart how society has changed and how two women's lives have been changed by what happened. When I first met Anne Enright, she was an actress and she would still have been called an actress. That it's now gets you into terrible semantic difficulties sometimes, Sean, I think, when you have to refer to actors and women actors and men actors. But an actress is what Catherine O'Dell would have been. In her peak, she was one of those actors who just emitted light. I've seen it happen. You'll have seen it. You were probably one of them, Sean. Those people who can stand on a stage or stand in front of a camera and somehow light pours out of them and you can't take your eyes off them. I once interviewed Dirk Bogart, actually, and he told me that he often worked with the same lighting director who would fix a special little light on a lighting bar, which they referred to as the bogey bar, just to catch his eyes, just to bring out that light in his eyes.
And that picks
Catherine,
up... That picks up on the cover of the book. And again, I've heard Anne Enright speaking about this, the fact that it's Carrie Fisher this actual snapshot, Carrie Fisher sitting on a chair at the side of a stage looking out at her own mother on the stage as well.
And again, Debbie Reynolds.
And it is this idea of not just being overshadowed by the mother, but in fact being absolutely loving the mother and loving the light that the mother sheds, as you say.
Yeah, and at the same time being cast helplessly into the shadow of it. It's a fabulous picture. I never, to be honest, thought much of Debbie Fisher as an actor, but Debbie Reynolds, she had that, and you can see it in this photograph. You can see the light pouring out of her, and actually Anne borrows that very distinctive gesture of Debbie Reynolds, of the arms held out almost like a Cindy doll towards the audience, which happens again and again in Catherine's life. And of course, what happens when you grow up? What happens when you grow up in that light and then the parts disappear, which is what's happened to Catherine? You know, in her 40s, she's playing parts for the 50 and 60 year old women, and then the parts just disappear completely. Anne Enright gives away several plot points very early in the book. I think that it's not a spoiler to repeat them, because I think she does it very deliberately to undermine the glamour. So we are not seduced like the audiences by thinking there's nothing except this glowing figure. Her mother has gone mad, and she has gone mad after shooting a producer for some never entirely explained mortal insult to her pride, to her amour propre, to her invented persona.
And was it a problem that it's not entirely explained? Was that a problem for you?
No, but this is not a rollicking good read book. It's a tangled, difficult, grey book that loops backwards and forwards in time. Some people have hated it, I have to say. I thought it was, I think she catches you very early and she holds you. There are fabulous early chapters about her mother's early days.
This is
the fit-ups with Anu McMaster.
Right.
And again, I think that's done quite deliberately to hook you into the story, so that when it gets sadder and greyer, you'll hold on to it. And I think you do. Well, I did.
Yeah. So that fit-ups period with Anya McMaster, and McMaster and McLeamore then, I presume, are very much part of the kind of the Dublin that she's portraying, the Ireland that she's portraying.
Yeah, absolutely. Small town Ireland, wet small towns, terrible stages, terrible theatres. And McLeamore isn't mentioned, but Anu, who was, of course, very much a real person, absolutely is. And he was. And it was a country in which there was no television. There were very few cinemas. Films were sometimes taken around on the back of lorries to be shown in village halls. But one of the great encounters with the wider world would have been when a fit-up company came into town, bringing you anything from a frightfully English drawing room comedy to Oedipus Rex to Shakespeare. There's one wonderful line in it where her mother learns one of her crucial acting tricks, which is Anu says when the mother comes on as a waitress and something shocking happens on stage, and he says, "Do nothing, say nothing, drop the tray." And I think we've all seen that show in which a character does nothing except drop the tray, whether the tray is actually there or not.
So we get that fit-ups period, and then obviously Catherine O'Dell has an American career, or a part of a career in America. What kind of America do we see?
Quite a hard America with a very skin deep glamour. I mean, she's in New York first. She becomes a star on Broadway, and then she moves to California. She has a marriage which is constructed by the studio, as many marriages were, to a glamorous, charming actor who in this case is gay. They live fairly happily together until, unfortunately, his career gets exploded fairly publicly. It's a dog-eat-dog world in which your career lasts as long as you're useful to the studios, as long as you earn money for the studios. And then, of course, the character gets pregnant by somebody and decides, extraordinarily in those days, to keep the child rather than to put the child up for adoption. I mean, obviously, she could have come back from America with no child and nobody would ever have known otherwise. And really, the whole career and the life, the carefully constructed life, starts unspooling from that point.
And we get 1970s Dublin, which has a particular type of shabby feel to it, really.
It has. My parents were writers, not actors. But I remember exactly the sort of parties that Enright describes brilliantly. There's a fabulous birthday party early on in which the unfortunate daughter, Nora, it's her birthday. She's absolutely a bit player at this party. Mm. She's ignored by everyone, including the journalists who are invited along for the photo op, who managed to get her name wrong in print.
In the social diary column.
Yeah, absolutely. And these are characters that I remember very well in Dublin from that period, who were sort of given the ticket of leave from repressed, Jansenistic, Catholic, pious, God-fearing, mass-going Ireland. They were allowed to be outrageous up to a point. They did a lot of damage. They did a lot of damage to other people. They did a lot of damage to themselves. Very few of their livers stood out, I would have said, for very long.
And RTE, in fact, Studio 7, which is where I'm sitting
Studio
right now.
Studio 7 has a starring role.
I wonder
whether
it couldn't have been the same Studio 7.
Has a starring role. A very haunting scene, actually, where the mother is really not quite up to what she's being required to do. It's already slipping away. There is nothing sadder than seeing a great actor on the slide. And I think of Macleamore in some of the last parts I saw him in when... dear, you know, it wasn't really Macleamore any longer.
I suppose that the real question here is, you know, this is a book that's about a mother-daughter relationship and you know, often fraught with difficulties, mother-daughter relationships, particularly in literature. What's the nature of the mother-daughter relationship between Nora and Catherine O'Dell?
I think they love one another more than anybody else, any of the other characters in the book, more than any other man they meet. The men in Nora's life are definitely characters in the shadows themselves, and they have to live with her worship, her troubled worship of her mother. And her mother certainly loves her daughter, but her mother is always performing. Even that passionate love for the daughter is a performance which she can't always hold to the last scene. It's very convincing, and it's particularly convincing that the mother is almost a vampire character. She's feeding on that the drama of her love for her daughter.
Okay,
the daughter is being sucked dry by it.
Right, okay. So does it work as a novel for you overall, Maeve?
It's got very mixed reviews.
I only want yours.
I enjoyed it. I stuck with it. I thought it was really interesting. It's not a feel-good book. It's not my favourite of Enright's book, but I thought she really captured something there. And she said herself that Me Too politics came along while she was writing the book. What she could not have seen is that the IRA and 1970s politics would come bouncing back into the headlines exactly when the book is published. We might not go too far on that, but it's there.
All right, but overall, is it a recommendation?
I think it's a very interesting book, well worth reading. She can't write badly, this woman.
All right, that's Maeve Kennedy speaking to us about Anne Enright's Actress, which is published by Jonathan Cape. Anne Enright is in conversation at Liberty Hall Theatre in Dublin on Saturday the 22nd of February and at the Mountains to Sea Festival in Dunleira on Saturday the 28th of March. Full details on penguin.co.uk/events and mountainstosea.ie.